Hello and welcome to Carnegie Conversations, where we'll be exploring the science of performance. I'm Tanya Arnold and we're here at the Carnegie School of Sport, where there's some incredible work going on to help elite athletes, coaches and governing bodies. But it's also about helping the rest of us and, of course, future generations. On these podcasts, you'll learn a whole lot more about what they're doing.
I just feel more powerful, a bit more in control rather than getting to the end of 800 and being like, oh, I'm exhausted. I've kind of got to that point in my career where people are like, oh, you must be finishing soon. I do genuinely, truthfully believe that I can still get quicker. And it was just finding the right people that were going to help me do that. And I think, you know, these are those people. This is the place that can answer those questions that have always kind of plagued me as an athlete. They're not the simple things that I can change anymore. And it's exciting to have that elite setup for the first time. You know, the things that the able-bodied athletes get handed to them as soon as they start the sport, I finally got there. Where can that take me and how much better can I get?
Well, on this episode, we have one of the great para-athletes, Hannah Cockcroft, her coach, Paul Mosley, and Gareth Nicholson, who is a course director here, but specialises in biomechanics and has been working with Hannah and Paul. Now, Hannah, you're a 9-time Paralympic gold medalist, 16-time world gold medalist, world record holder at 1, 2, 4, 8 and 1500 metres. But this is the first time you've done this kind of thing in biomechanics, isn't it?
Yeah, so this is all new, which I'm running out of new things. 18 years into a career, you know, you don't think you're going to be doing something for the first time. But biomechanics is something that, you know what, every coach I've had has really pushed for through various authorities. And we may have been given little bits, little snippets every now and again. You can have some speed gates. You can have, well, actually, that's about it, speed gates. So yeah, Paul contacted Leeds Beckett and just said, can you help? Because it's getting to that point where, you know, there's not a lot we can change in training anymore. My chair's the right setup, you know, all the little things that you do to get quicker that aren't training, we're running out of those ideas. So it was starting to try and turn over new stones. So yeah, it's been really exciting and a new challenge, I guess. Yeah, it's been really good.
So let's just do the basics question. Gareth, what is biomechanics and how does it relate to Hannah?
Good question. So I guess in this context, biomechanics is the study of human movement. So that's me looking at Hannah, how Hannah moves. So some of the things that we have explored, particularly how she pushes and whether there's any room for improvement there in the way that she's been doing that.
It sounds to me, Paul, that it's kind of looking at the basics of what it is, which slightly surprises me that all the years into her career, this is the first time Hannah's done this.
So it is the basics, but what we've been able to take advantage of with the work that Gareth helped us with the team is look at some of the things that we thought were right, but actually had no real evidence to support that. So there's some assumptions that we've made in the past, which I'm quite pleased with the work that Gareth's done that have said, yes, you're on the right track with that. So that's really helped us. But you're right with regards to a lot of the stuff that we've done within wheelchair racing is people have kind of guessed, tried, and then changed if it's not worked and kept going with that approach. Whereas now, with the work that we've done here, is start that process of actually having some evidence to say, actually, that's right and that's working. And the push technique that we've been working on with Hannah, and really selfishly, timing was perfect for the stuff that we've done here, is that Hannah and I have been looking at changing the push technique that you push the chair. Only a minor tweak, but actually then are we correct with that? And is the work that we're doing with that going to help? Because we were kind of looking at essentially how everybody else pushes and looking at then what's going to benefit Hannah. So taking all of the best bits of everybody else around the world, just from observations and speaking with other coaches, but then looking at, so what's going to work for Hannah? But now with Gareth and the team, we've been able to then apply that and test it and see if it actually is right.
So what kind of things have you been putting Hannah through?
So biomechanics is we use a lot of fancy technology, a lot of cameras. So I've had the privilege of putting a lot of reflective markers on Hannah. Yeah, we've used some high-speed cameras as well to sort of visualise what certain sort of starting techniques look like. And we've done some resisted pushing as well. So we've attached to a cable device, and that's been telling us sort of how much change in acceleration she can produce when she's been pulled back.
Yeah, that was great fun. I tried to get Paul to do it after me, but he couldn't do it that day.
Ran out of time. No time for that.
And is this the first time you've worked with wheelchair athletes?
Yes. I guess the opportunity really was really good in terms of timing, like Paul said, because we've done about 20 years worth of work within athletics. I guess the pinnacle of that was doing some work in 2017 down in London for the World Championships. We had the job of analysing Usain Bolt's, Mo Farah's last races, and the team produced a series of reports which were published via World Athletics, and they're still used today. But we've been getting asked by coaches when we're doing the next set of those, which we'd love to do, but actually, rather than look in that direction, we sort of said, actually, there's a group of athletes here that have very limited data, and we need to shine a light on those. So when the opportunity came along to do this for Hannah, it was great. And who better to do it with than a world record holder and a gold medalist?
Multiple. Need to underline that a few times, don't we? How have you found it?
Actually, I found it really interesting. I think I kind of came in with a little bit like, what are they actually going to tell me? Because it's that thing when you're at the front of your field, there's not that many places for me to look. Everyone's looking to me. So I was a bit like, well, we'll see how it goes, like kind of test it. And then I think we were both surprised, weren't we? Like within one session, just the finest detail that they could give us, you know, like questions that we've been asking for years. So like disability wise, we've always asked, is there an indifference because of my disability between my right hand and my left hand? Is there an imbalance between the power? And we've had like UK Sport produce push rims with power sensors in. We've had people come in and do strength testing with me, and everyone's kind of just shrugged their shoulders and gone, yeah, it kind of looks like there is, but we don't actually know and we've got no numbers for you. We came in to these guys for a couple of hours and they were like, yep, this is a graph. This is the difference between your two arms. This is kind of where it starts. This is where you even out. This is what we can do about it. And it was like, wow, you can answer that so quickly, and yet we've been asking it for so long. So I think for me, it's been a bit of a relief, to be honest, like to get those answers, because as well, as an athlete, you always compare yourself to other athletes, and in disability sport, because of the classification system, I'm always comparing myself to either girls with different disabilities, so they're slightly quicker because they're slightly more able, or even the men. And I kind of look at what they're doing and go, why can I not figure out how to do that? Why can I not make my body do that? So then to have the kind of the data behind it that says, well, you're not doing it because you physically don't have the ability to do that, I think kind of, I don't know, takes that pressure off and makes you be like, okay, I'm doing what I can do and I'm doing my absolute best. But it also gives us so many spaces to go away and improve in, you know, just from those little bits of data already. I went away, spoke to my gym coach, spoke to our physio, and we've already started working on those kind of muscle imbalances. So, and that's going to make a massive kind of difference heading into the World Championships. And it's those little things that if we hadn't had those numbers behind it, we wouldn't have made that change. And then we wouldn't have made the steps forward that we've made this year. So it's been interesting, a little bit frustrating that it's taken this long to kind of get those answers that are seemingly so simple, but apparently not. And I think just exciting that there are so many things that I can still improve on. That means I can go quicker, I think.
From a coach's point of view, I mean, Hannah has always had an incredible work ethic. We've talked about it in the past. You know, when you are winning, everybody thinks, oh, it's probably just easy, but she works incredibly hard. But to have something like this, to hear her excited about something that's a little bit different, those nuances, from a coach's point of view, that must make your job an awful lot easier.
It certainly does. But also, we touched on timing earlier. The timing was perfect because we'd also then looked at doing some testing of strength. And so we'd identified that there was an imbalance, but also then what we can do about that. And then we did some additional testing. But all of that was then linked to then what we were finding within the very first session that we did with Gareth and the team. To then be able to then put interventions in place that are really going to help. And coming back to Hannah's work ethic, I'm supposed to say that she is very determined individual.
He doesn't want to compliment me here, no. So he's being very careful around his words.
I mean, to have that open-mindedness, to be able to go, right, what else can we do? And I suppose that's come a little bit, the timing-wise of us working together over the last 3 years or so, full-time, has been that then I have a different training ethic and or plans to what you were previously used to. So there was a big change anyway. So we've looked at the drip feed effect of making some changes, but not all of them all at the same time. And we had that conversation right at the beginning when we agreed to work together. But then this last year has really ramped up where we've had the opportunity to put a real big block of training in where we can look at the change in the technique, the types of training, but also the support team. So it's not just me and Hannah, it's Hannah's references strength conditioning coach, Rich, but also then the physio support that we have.
Can I just say, it sounds like a more professional approach that some of the other athletes who train here, who are able-bodied, have had all the way through?
Yeah, absolutely. I think people just assume that I have always had this massive team behind me, and most of the way through my career, it's been me and my coach, whether it's been Paul, or before Paul it was Jenny, and before Jenny it was Peter. And I think around that, I've always just had to rely on the support that British Athletics have kind of provided from afar, from Loughborough. When I went to university, I got a little bit of support through the sports scholarship program there. But yeah, I've never had like a personal physio. If I've ever had problems, I've actually gone back to my childhood physio, because she remained a family
friend.
For
somebody with a disability, it strikes me, and doing what you're doing in a chair, a racing chair, which is not the most comfortable, I mean, that is pretty basic a physio.
It is, absolutely. And I think for me, it came down to finding someone that I trusted, that I wanted to be a part of my team. Also just someone who wanted to be a part of it. You know, I think disability sport is still, we're still so, so far behind able-bodied sport. People think that the support and everything behind it is totally equal. We don't have the sponsorship, so then we can't afford to pay for the best everything. Donna, my physio, she's worked on the GB team a few times that we've been away. We reached out to her, I don't know, maybe just less than a year ago, after the Paris Games. And just said, look, I need to not be driving a 200-mile trip to get physiotherapy. Can you help? And she jumped at the chance. But I think for me, it was a little bit of having the confidence to ask that question. Because I think for me, I just think, well, why would anyone want to work with me? Like, they're not going to want to do that. So it was the confidence of actually taking the leap and just asking the question. And a little bit of it was having someone who was interested enough. You know, we're not a one-size-fits-all. You know, every disabled athlete is different. And I think that would be really interesting and exciting. But I think it also makes the job a little bit harder. You know, like, I've had so many doctors and physiotherapists and every medical professional look at me with a blank face and wonder, what am I? Like, how does my body work? And so many medical professionals go, well, you shouldn't be able to do that. So I don't know how you're doing that. But Donna just seems to lap that up. She just seems to be like, I love that. Let's figure it out. How are you doing that? How can we make it stronger? And she's just excited. And it's the same with Rich, my S&C coach. I've been working with him a little bit longer now. And we just all figured it out together. So yeah, it's very much been a slow process. And I think now it's, you know, we need to keep building it. You know, I think we need to look at, you know, one thing that I keep pushing for is nutrition now. There's literally no research around nutrition for wheelchair racing athletes.
Gareth, from your point of view, listening to Hannah talking about that, wanting to find answers about various different things, how exciting to have been able in a couple of hours to tell her something she's been looking out for a long time about which arm's stronger.
It's fantastic, yeah. I just listening to a talk then, though, about, you know, what's still untouched in sort of wheelchair races. I guess from my perspective, because I guess I lean on these two a lot in terms of they're the experts. My job is to think about, you know, what we'd like to measure and how we can do that. And to be honest, like, there are some things that we've found that are difficult to measure in wheelchair races, and some things we'd like to go on to measure that we can't currently. But actually, that's not a reason for not working with these athletes. It's probably more of a reason because it's more interesting. So it's nice from my perspective that I get that challenge in working those things out. But it's nice as well that things do come off and you're able to sort of confirm, you know, some of the things that they've been working on.
Paul Hannah's not the only athlete that you work with. Are you taking what you're learning from this into working with them, or is there the possibility that they can come here and have their biomechanics looked at?
So yes and yes. So it's really valuable, the work that Gareth and the team have started to do, and kind of just opened the box of what else is possible and what we can look at. And we've literally just scratched the surface with the work that we've just started here, and really valuable. But we also then took advantage of one of the athletes within the group in Leeds, and he was involved in the pre-setup activity as well, which was really beneficial just to look at where he was. So actually the testing that we've done with Hannah isn't just a test for Hannah, and we've had a number of other athletes who've taken advantage of the work that Gareth and the team have done as well, just to be able to then look at different impairments, different body types, just looking at how then people push, so that there's more data to be able to help us, just to give us some additional evidence to say actually this is going to be a better position or a better contact on the push rim, or this is the imbalances and so you might need to do something about that. So I think that's been really valuable.
And that's the legacy, isn't it, I guess? That you've got so many to go at, but this is the start.
It is, definitely, yeah, and that's what's exciting. I guess I've said to Hannah and Paul before, the feedback that I can give them really only gets stronger the more athletes that we test as well, because, you know, I can tell Hannah what she looks like in terms of her technique, but, you know, the real value there is comparing that to other athletes.
So you are off to the Worlds in a few weeks' time. Will we see a completely different Hannah Cockcroft having gone through all of this?
I mean, hopefully not. Hopefully I'll still be at the front. That's the plan. You know what? I think just from this testing alone, my technique has changed. Not to the point where I think the viewer would be like, oh, look, she's a totally different athlete. But for me, where I just feel more powerful, I feel, especially I think over the longer distance, so the 800 metres, I just feel, yeah, a bit more powerful, a bit more in control, rather than getting to the end of 800 and being like, oh, I'm exhausted. I've got the strength there to carry on. So I think for me, that's really exciting. But I mean, no, the plan is still to be ahead. You never know what the rest of the world's going to bring out though, you know, so we'll wait and see. But yeah, hopefully we're going to put down some good races.
I think the testing that we were able to do here as well, so we tested in April and then June, something like that. And so just to be able to see a comparison and to look at the improvements that we saw in June in the testing was really encouraging, based on then the amount of training that you'd done, but also there were some competitions that you'd been to. So to be able to then just do that additional testing and just to see what improvements have been made. And the acceleration work that we did with the I'm going to say the pulley system, but it was where you just attached a wire.
It's a 1080 motion system.
That one, yeah. So the clever stuff. But that showed us that there was a massive improvement even over just your first three pushes in how powerful you were applying force into the chair, which was brilliant because we'd been doing a little bit of work on that in training. So just to be able to see the stats and the data to be able to back up that the work that you've done in training was beneficial was really helpful. So that it gives us confidence to continue that work.
What will it be like for you sitting and watching her at the Worlds, Gareth?
It'll be a little bit surreal, to be honest, yeah. But to be honest, because obviously myself and Hannah do go a little bit back in terms of sharing the same school. It's been a little bit like that anyway.
Right. So you knew each other as kids. Your mum taught Hannah, is that right?
She was my IT teacher and my form tutor.
I'm tempted to ask what Hannah was like at school.
No, please do.
Absolutely wonderful.
I'm going to say, at risk of being too positive, knowing her at school and seeing what she's gone on to do, I'm not surprised. She was always very driven. But it's just been nice to follow from afar, and it's actually really interesting now we've sort of come back together to work a bit closer and see where she can get to in New Delhi, yeah.
Paul, you talk at elite athlete level, they talk about marginal gains. It is going to be marginal gains, isn't it, in the tweaks that you made, but it's marginal gains in the absolute fundamentals of what it is that Hannah does.
It is in, and I suppose that the fundamentals work that we've been looking at here is a tweak to technique, but that's more around then force application and inefficiencies. Whereas previously your super strength was that you were rapid with your hand speed and on the push rim, which helped the wheel keep turning, but you can't do that for a long time. So that's why you were exhausted in the end of an 800 meters. I still hope you're exhausted by the end of the 800, by the way, because otherwise you've not worked hard enough.
No, I'm chill now. I'm all good.
but there's
floating round.
There's definitely things that you can tweak in, and I think that's where we've looked together as a team, and Hannah's innovative, absolutely innovative, with and that open mind of looking at what else can she do. And so I've just jumped on that journey with you to kind of look at, so what is it that we can tweak? And again, just I have different ideas to the previous coaches. I'm not saying that my ideas are the right ones. It's just different. And so, but to be able to embrace that and to look at trying those things and some of the stuff that we've tried, certainly early on, you just shout at me and say, that's rubbish, Paul, I'm not doing that.
Hannah, shout at you.
No, she does it really politely and very nicely with that lovely smile, obviously. But so when you say fundamentals, there are some fundamentals, but it's around just tweaking those. And I think that most coaches will do that anyway.
Is it nice to be excited and have something different thrown at you at this stage of your career? Is that something you probably needed? You know, it to keep out in front, it sounds easy, but it's not. You need yourself motivating a lot of the time.
I think it's hard to find the answers on your own. So I actually think the nicest part of it all for me is just having a team behind me, not just having one person. And, you know, I think eventually you kind of exhaust those ideas, whereas Gareth and his team keep coming back and going, oh, I've thought about this. And I go, what's that? I don't even know what you're on about. So I think, like, it's opened up this whole... I've kind of got to that point in my career where people are like, oh, you must be finishing soon. Oh, you're 33. You must be at the end of it. And I'm like, I do genuinely, truthfully believe that I can still get quicker. I think there's so many more things that I can change and improve and do better. And it was just finding the right people that were going to help me do that. And I think, you know, these are those people. This is the place that can answer those questions that have always kind of plagued me as an athlete. And I think that's the exciting thing for me, that people want to help, that people want to be part of that journey, that they're not the people going, oh, you must be nearly finished now. Oh, do you know what I mean? And kind of the negative side. So I think for me, it's exciting that I do have that opportunity now, because, you know, I'm not the youngest on the start line. In fact, I am absolutely definitely the oldest. I have people half my age now that are on that start line with me. And it is now finding those little things that maybe they're not looking at, or, you know, they're not the simple things that I can change anymore. And it's exciting to have that elite setup for the first time. You know, the things that the able-bodied athletes get handed to them as soon as they start the sport, I finally got there. And I know that I'm one of the only wheelchair racers definitely in the country, potentially in the world, that are now getting offered those services. So where can that take me, and how much better can I get?
How much better can she get then, coach?
Well, already we've talked about that. I think you could break the world record in the 800. I think you can go quicker in the 100. And all of that is based on some of the stuff that we started with Gareth and the team and some of the tweaks that we've made looking at that data. So we've already improved your start over the first 10, 30 metres, which is really encouraging, because we talk about differences in impairment, and that's where your reactions were a little bit slower than some. But actually now you're so much quicker over that first 30 metres, it's really encouraging. And then we talk about power application into the push rim, so your top speed is getting quicker. So it still comes down to conditions of the track, the weather, if it's wind in your face or wind behind, and all of those things as well. But actually, it's really encouraging that Hannah's like on that upward trajectory, which is quite nice to see.
This is a first, isn't it, Gareth? This is the first time this kind of testing has been done. What can be the legacy of the work that you're starting with Hannah and a few other athletes? Where do you think you can take this?
I think there's that little out there in terms of work and support for wheelchair athletes that, you know, The the possibilities are endless, really. Because we've talked a lot about biomechanics, but, you know, biomechanics is important, you know, and it is the fundamentals of what you do in the chair. But actually, how you push, it's got a link with the physiology, it's got a link with the nutrition, you know, and it's bringing all that together in sort of a complete package. I would like to get to a stage where, so some of the work we've done with able-bodied athletes has been in competition, so it's been filming from the stands. And I guess the really nice thing about that is that every athlete in a race, regardless of where they're from, who the coach is, you know, they get given the data about them in terms of where they are. But equally for Hannah, then she would learn about the competitors in that field. We are a way off probably doing that because there are some challenges that come in terms of analysing wheelchair athletes for different reasons. But, you know, it's something to aim for. But, I mean, just listening to your talk in terms of hearing Hannah talk about wanting to improve, I guess the bit that makes our job easier is when an athlete comes in and the coach, they're so interested in what they're seeing and what they're finding. Because I'll be honest, like, you know, it's not always the case. You do get athletes that come in and they're not interested, which, you know, which is fine. But actually, I think it's much richer when, you know, the athlete and the coach is interested, because Hannah's saying how it feels, you know, Paul's saying maybe what we can try again and how we can adapt that. And you sort of come to sort of a problem-solving sort of approach between you.
And you are using, aren't you, other facilities here? You're off to the heat chamber when we finished recording, because it's going to be hot in Delhi.
Yeah, so we're in the heat chambers at the moment, which is, yeah, a massive help. We only have like a 5-day training camp out in Dubai before we head to the World Championships. So obviously going from, I don't know what the temperature today is, but it's pretty grey. So going from whatever this is, under 20 definitely, to over 40 is quite a leap. And we did our first session yesterday. I actually adapted to it quite well, I think. But it's you know, it's something that I probably haven't done heat chamber work since Rio in 2016, maybe. So a good amount of time. And it just gives me that little bit more than any other girl. You know, it's something that I'm not being offered anywhere else. It's important prep. You know, so many athletes get there and just cannot deal with the heat. I've got to get Paul in the heat chamber, because I think he was in it for about 3 minutes yesterday and he was like, I'm too hot, I'm going out. So you have to sit in that in India too,
to.
You know?
No, I can, air conditioning.
Oh, right, okay, on the track. so yeah, that's where we're starting. Get me ready for the World Championships.
Can I just say, and we're getting a wonderful insight into your relationship as well as coach and athlete.
Look, I think anything I have to do, Paul should have to do too. I think that's fair enough, that is. Look, Gareth's nodding. Still got to get you on that 1080, Paul.
I thought we talked about this, Karen.
I feel like we could be breaking up a very nice relationship.
I'm feeling bullied.
It's all right. It's always this relationship. Don't worry. I am a bully. It's fine.
So just going back to the stuff in the environment chamber, though, and the work that Dan did yesterday was really insightful with regards to not just helping you to acclimatise to kind of that type of heat in that environment, but looking at then kind of the sweat patch and the impact on your blood. So that
sounds
can,
like you're just looking at my sweat patches.
Yeah, because you were sweating.
I was well
just
away.
That whole extra analysis and the work that, again, the team there is doing is just looking at everything rather than just let's just get you acclimatized for the heat. That let's actually look at then how much you might sweat, so how much fluid loss you might have. Is that extra salty? So we need hydration plans in place. So that's going to be really invaluable to help us whilst we're out in India.
Yeah, I think it's been, again, the most in-depth that I've ever had. When I have done the heat chamber work prior to Rio, it was just go in a heat chamber and get used to the heat. Whereas, as Paul said, you know, they're going to send me away with a hydration plan, you know, how to know whilst I'm out there if I am dehydrated, how much I need to be drinking, And I think when you just have the answers there, like written down for you, it's something that I don't have to worry about. You know, I'll get there. I'll just follow the plan. I don't then have to even think about that side of my preparation because it's already boxed off. And yeah,
it just gives you an idea of some of what goes on in this building, which we will explore further in these podcasts. It's an incredible setup. Where do you hope that the work that you're doing with Gareth will go for athletes that follow you?
I hope that we can spread it out to more athletes. I think in Britain there's over 100 wheelchair racers. And as I said, you know, this is something that's never been offered to any of those. And it's never really been offered to any athletes worldwide. So I hope that we can eventually kind of open it up and get international athletes in so that they can have this experience, have this opportunity, because it is something that's so different. And I hope that somewhere along the line we can kind of get some kind of, I don't know, guidelines or something out there that when there are new coaches, when there are new athletes, you know, there's so much online about how to run an 800 or how to do any other athletics event. But as Gareth said, when you come to wheelchair racing, there is nothing. There is no literature to read. It is literally just guess and go. So kind of put something out there that I suppose then builds a legacy for me, that we were the first to do that and we kind of put that out there. I think in terms of myself, I just hope that we can keep this relationship going and kind of expand it more. You know, there's so many more things that I want to explore and investigate and get better at. And hopefully Leeds Beckett want to be on my team for all of those things leading into the LA Games and hopefully win a few more gold medals. That'd be great.
For me though, that's the real legacy is the part around the sport broader than here. So yeah, Leeds is the hub currently for the work that we're doing. But actually, you know, planning the work that we've been doing with Hannah and Paul, you realise that we automatically will go to validated guidelines and protocols. But you look for those and you realise, well, they don't exist. What would be really nice to get to is like Hannah's just intimated there, some consensus, some guidelines that wherever athletes are in the world, you know, when working with a wheelchair racer, they want to measure this, they want to test that, this is how they should go about it. Because really, you know, in terms of the inroads that sports science has made, it is vast over the years. But actually, I think we should be at a better stage now where we can pick up guidelines and we go, actually, para athletes, you know, this is what we do. We're a way off that yet, but hopefully this stuff starts that.
And you'll be putting it, presumably, into practice with the other athletes you've got, because you've got quite some young stars coming through.
It is, absolutely. And I think that the really good thing about this area of work is that it'll add to some of the work that I've already done in the past 5-6 years, where we created a resource to introduce people to wheelchair racing and the real basics of the technique across the various different event areas. But actually, that was, like we talked about earlier, that was kind of just the generic technical stuff that everybody thinks about. Whereas now we can add some real evidence behind that and probably tweak some of the technical advice that we can give as well. So I think that's going to be really helpful. And certainly selfishly, the work that we do in Leeds with the wheelchair racing group, they automatically get the benefit of what we've been learning with Gareth and Hannah and the team here. So they're a beneficiary of all of that data that we're able to get.
So you got the Worlds to go. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling good. Yeah, I'm feeling good. I found this year hard. Like, I was tired after Paris and it was hard to kind of get going again. I got married after the Games, then we went on a honeymoon and it's just too much life to fit in. But we got back on track and yeah, the season's gradually got better as I've gone through, but I'm feeling.
And did you kind of need this maybe to just reignite the interest and the excitement about it?
Absolutely, yeah. I needed something different. I needed a new focus. You know, it got to the point where you're going to training and we're going, you start still rubbish, but how do we make it better? Because for 18 years, I've been moving my hands quicker and it's not working. So what else is it? And sometimes it just felt like you were banging your head against a brick wall, just asking the same question and not being able to figure out with what we had. You know, you can only do so much with an iPhone camera and a set of eyes. So yeah, it was new answers. And I think just having a different focus, being able to go away and work on something different was what I needed. And yeah, I think gradually made me get better through the season, and I'm feeling fit and I'm feeling strong. So yeah, I think I'm ready to go for the Worlds.
Do you think, sorry to jump in, do you think that's given you that little bit of confidence as well? In because early on, so February time, when we're doing that block of training, and I'd be saying you need to lift your hands higher and you need to do this, and you were like, I am, and it possibly was hard work because it was a change. Whereas then we've continued with that, but then the evidence base that Gareth and the team have been able to give with the testing that we've done and give you that confidence to actually say this is now that there's symmetry with your the two arms and how you're applying force into the chair, and then putting that together with some of the race performances. I'm thinking of the two 800s in Arban, for example, where you were phenomenal. Just put everything together.
Yeah, I think you do. You look for that confidence, and we can work on things. Obviously, I'm doing it, but I can't see it, and you're seeing it, but you can't make me do it. Sometimes we can bang heads a lot where Paul's going, lift your hands, and I'm going, I'm lifting my hands. And you just don't know. You just don't know if it's clicking. You don't know if it's right. Is it making me faster? Is it the right thing? Is it the wrong thing? I think, yeah, then you come to Gareth and his team and they go, okay, yeah, this is working. And I think as well, because it wasn't just me that we tested, I was one of four. So we had, my husband was one of them, a T54 male. We had one of my training partners, Ollie, who's younger. I think Ollie's like 16, 17. But again, a male. And then one of my friends, Eden Rainbow Cooper, she won Boston Marathon. So she's a long distance racer. We were kind of then able to look over all four sets of data and say, well, actually, there's some similarities here, or this, you know, everyone else was similar here, Hannah, and you were kind of falling off, and this is maybe what we could look at. It's all things that we're trying to do from behind a computer and on the side of a track, just watching people, but actually having some stats and actually being able to come out and Gareth say, actually, you were stronger at that. Buzzing that I was stronger than Nathan at something. Do you know what I mean? So it does. It definitely gives you confidence that things are going in the right direction.
Just a whole new thing to be competitive about. Oh, you've just absolutely got that glint in your eye.
Oh, well, if I'm not competitive, I'm not anything, am I? So,
and does that take you back to the school days, Gareth?
I don't want to comment on that.
That'll be a yes.
I pick up on though what Paul said, because I remember the early conversations with yourselves, and I think you were out in Dubai, were you, perhaps? And Paul asked, what is it that you guys want to measure? And I think my response was, actually, we don't need to measure anything from our perspective. It's what questions that Paul and Hannah have. And I think that's been the nice thing, in that the four athletes that we've tested probably each have a different sort of priority, a different area of focus. So for Hannah, it's been the pushing style stuff. For Nathan, it's been something slightly different. And nothing's been off the shelf, really. So we've had to adapt and innovate each time someone's come in. And I don't think each time we've tested someone, we've probably changed something every time, because we're learning as well.
Exciting times. The best of luck at the Worlds.
Thank you.
And fantastic to be yet again at the beginning of something new for the university, and maybe creating something for the future. So if you want to know more about what Gareth and his team do here, do head for the Carnegie School of Sport website. The details are in the show notes. Remember to like, follow, subscribe, and tell all your friends about the podcast as well. Goodbye for now.